Chapter 6 Karma and Destiny. In the strength of the Lord of the Universes, the One who is already awake,
in the heart of each one of us,
and under the protection of the power field and of the light from the Brotherhood of Life, we can unravel our destiny and enter into the glory of the Day of Days, of the new day that will never end. We begin this chapter inspired by the words of the Buddha. The liberation of their own being is for all human beings the primordial and most immediate task. From the first fact of existence, life manifests itself as the law of transformation or mutability. Everything that exists is subordinated to the same turn in the wheel of life, which comprises birth, growth, decline, and death. Thus, life proceeds single and alone and seeks to express itself incessantly in new forms. It is a process of movement, and those who are trapped in a form, however beautiful it may be, will suffer as long as they try to retain that movement. The law of transformation also relates to the soul. All consequences have their causes. And the natural soul, or the character of human beings, is the sum of their previous thoughts and actions. Karma, which means action and reaction, governs all existence, and human beings are the sole creator of their conditions and reactions, their future state, and their ultimate destiny. Through pure guidance of actions and thoughts, they can gradually purify their inner nature, and thereby, through self-realization, attain liberation through soul rebirth. Life is one and indivisible, though its changing forms are countless and fleeting. Verily, there is no death, though each form must die. When we understand the oneness of life, compassion arises, a feeling of deep oneness with life in all its forms. Compassion is described as the law of laws, as eternal harmony, and those who break this harmony of life will consequently suffer and delay their enlightenment. Walking the liberating path requires perfect understanding, pure goals, correct action, and pure life. Only then does the heart become pure. Faced with these wise words, we ask ourselves, why do human beings have a destiny? Why do they have a personality that is already born full of tendencies inherited from their parents and the entire bloodline of a people or even humanity? Why do they have a karmic heritage that forces them down paths they barely understand? Why are they born with certain predispositions to be more or less healthy? Why do they have, sometimes from early childhood, the tendency to certain illnesses that sooner or later manifest themselves, despite them maintaining good habits of life? As we said in the previous chapter, all these aspects, which in one word we could simply designate as destiny, come from the invisible half of our existence, from the real motives and archetypes that are stored in the aural sphere, in the energy field of our microcosm. And due to the fact that we do not have a soul connected to the source of all life, therefore connected to the spirit, we live in a split, directed reality centered only on the material aspects of our existence. Therefore, we simply do not have access to the real motives, the forces that set our lives in motion, as they are beyond our intellectual faculty, beyond the veil of perception of our mental body. As we saw earlier, the incomplete development of human beings, who live imprisoned in the illusion of their eye consciousness in its current phase of manifestation, makes us live in a totally unconscious way in relation to the tensions that we ourselves generate in our lives, tensions that accumulate like heavy clouds in our respiration field. We also said that these tensions are always looking for a way to rebalance our very charged respiration field. And this happens through true thunderstorms, that is, moments when these tensions are discharged like lightning from a storm over our astral, etheric, and physical bodies. And it was in this broader context of the manifestation of our lives that we fit the picture of the countless illnesses that manifest in our organism. We have also seen that when we completely block the manifestation of these tensions, they do not tend to disappear, but rather to accumulate more strongly and can even trigger a degeneration that will befall us in such a way that this process will no longer be controllable or even circumventable. However, not all those tensions that are accumulated and blocked in their manifestation manage to be discharged during our lifetime. Perhaps the fact that we are not aware of the tensions we generate in ourselves is a blessing, the blessing of ignorance, as is often said. Yes, because if we had the perception of the amount of pending issues, tensions, and unresolved situations that we hoard over a single day of our life as if it were a sinister treasure, maybe we would even lose the ability to continue living normally. It is just that every thought, every look, every gesture, every intention that does not harmonize with the original objective of life is a potential source of tension and accumulation of energetic dissonance in our respiration field. In short, every time we deviate from the target, from the sole objective of life, in whatever way it may be, in the biggest or the smallest issues, we generate a pendency, an unresolved tension. In this way, it is completely impossible for us to manage to discharge all the tensions generated by not having a consciousness linked to the spirit in the short period of a single life. On the one hand, there simply is not time for that. It is as if we needed an extra instant of time for every instant of time lived without awareness, and which therefore generated tension, a pendency. On the other hand, the reality is that for the vast majority of humanity, each new moment lived, instead of solving an accumulated pending issue from the past, seems to serve only to generate a new one or reinforce one that already existed.
This is why the universal teaching says that humanity's destiny is becoming heavier and heavier at every moment of its existence. Yes, destiny. And why destiny?
Simply because those pendencies that are not discharged, either because they were consistently blocked or because they were further reinforced by our behavior, devoid of real understanding, are accumulating not only in our respiration field, but also in the walls of the microcosm itself, which we call the lipika. When the personality loses its physical body, the tensions accumulated in it take form in the lines of force of the etheric body. When the etheric body volatilizes, these tensions accumulate in the force vortices of the astral body, therefore in the main chakras and in the other small chakras that gravitate around them. And when finally the astral body evaporates and the mental body loses its capacity for self-perception, since it still depended totally on the astral body, or rather on the desire body, to function, then the tensions that were accumulated in the astral body and in the respiration field completely crystallize. It is as if they formed a very high-resolution photo or a very high-resolution multidimensional hologram that contains all the essential aspects of that tension, that dissonance, that disharmony.
And these true holograms of our tensions are then engraved as if by fire, therefore permanently, in the microcosmic sky, in the lipika, as the result of a lifetime, as the sum of experiences, as the compendium of all a lifetime's trials and errors in relation to the single aim of existence.
And now, friends, it is important that we give our full attention to what we are going to say. When all this is finally registered in the microcosm, after the soul consciousness has relived each of these experiences and deeply absorbed the lessons of its successes and mistakes, there is an extremely important moment that we need to highlight. Before that consciousness drinks the draught from the river of forgetfulness and sinks into the dreamless sleep of its complete dissolution, it sees before it the synthesis, the quintessence of all its life. So it yearns for a new opportunity,
in which all these pending issues are undone through a life that provides it with the necessary experiences to do so.
It is this glimpse, this true longing for the resolution of all that is still pending, that constitutes the vibrating key, the tuning fork, the clear and vibrant tone that will attract this microcosm into its new incarnation. It is in that last moment, in the last breath of the soul consciousness that dissolves, that the microcosmic sky is more concretely configured with its accumulated tensions. Exactly as we see the countless stars of the Milky Way and other galaxies on a moonless night. From that moment on, this will be the zodiacal configuration of the new personality, which will be welcomed into that same microcosm in its next reincarnation. In this way, not even a small trace of everything that was lived is lost, and the next life continues directly from the exact moment the previous life ended, as a perfect continuity of an endless story. However, for the next personality, which does not have the conscious understanding capacity of the immortal soul, and who therefore does not have access to its microcosmic heaven, all this seems like a macabre game of chance, in which it will be the victim of events absolutely inexplicable or even totally unfair when looked at from the outside reality of things. But for the human beings who walk the path of the real understanding of life and who want to place themselves at the service of the divine principle that is latent in their being, this whole picture takes on a totally different proportion. These human beings will understand that their destiny is, in reality, a treasure that they have inherited, the treasure that in the first place brought them to the doors of the path of true self-knowledge and the real possibility of transforming their life. And also the treasure that, in addition to this luminous possibility, presents them with the opportunity to experience, in just one life, the resolution of all the accumulated pending issues of karma. And then those human beings who were touched and awakened by the light will also be able to recognize that the inherited illnesses are also part of the great karmic themes that mirror the tensions that were accumulated in the microcosm. So it no longer matters if these illnesses were inherited by the oral destiny of the microcosm or by the laws of cause and effect of reincarnation, which brought it to life among a certain people, group, or family. Yes, these conscious human beings will understand these accumulated tensions inherited from the microcosm's past come to life again in the process of manifesting a new incarnation. And in this process of animation, certain organic conditions are shaped in the archetypes of the astral body and the etheric body, which at the right time will also manifest in the material body. That is why Christ, the soul of the world, when asked about these things, formulated in questions such as, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" always answered, full of love, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him." John 9, 2-3, RSV, about a man born blind. This means that neither the current quadruple personality nor one's parents, that is, one's blood heritage, can fully explain the ways of manifestation of karma. In fact, all lives, all existences manifest only so that the will of the all is fulfilled. In other words, so that all accumulated pending issues can finally be overcome by transmuting life through a new awareness. And it is here, friends, that we would like to delve as deeply as possible into the heart of this issue, as it is essential that all those who yearn to truly transform their lives can understand what it really is about. Faced with all our inherited difficulties, which can manifest themselves as illnesses that arise and accompany us from our childhood or youth, we must not revolt against or even insult our destiny. After all, it is this destiny, apparently so vengeful or unjust, that brings us the chance of a fundamental transmutation. In this sense, everything that manifests itself in our organism as an apparent difficulty, that is, a fundamental and chronic illness, can present itself around the energetic center of our astral body, impacting one of the seven main glands of our body, or it can be reflected in one of our key organs, in our head, heart, or life sanctuaries. And this difficulty that manifests itself in this way needs to be seen as a learning key. After all, it is behind this difficulty, as if it were the back of a coin, that the answer to what needs to be transmuted lies. So, when this situation is finally understood, when it is finally unveiled, what the Rosicrucian manifestos, such as the Fama Fraternitatis and the Alchemical Wedding, indicate as reading the rota, will happen to us. It explains that when sincere and dedicated pupils finally unveil the most hidden reason for the main themes of their destiny, and here are included those illnesses that perhaps have accompanied them since the beginning of their life, they will have found the nucleus, the core, of a whole constellation, of a whole group, of magnetic points of tensions accumulated in the lipika and in the respiration field of their microcosm.
If, before the light of this unveiling, they then pronounce before the Lord of Life, the flame of the Spirit's fire that burns in the heart of their own microcosm, "Your will be done, not mine," then they will have transformed, transmuted, transfigured the core of this path of their own destiny.
In this way, they will have read their rota, unveiled their destiny, and reinvented their history. In this way, it matters little whether or not their difficulty and illness disappear from their physical body. Like a clay vessel that has been molded in a certain way for a certain purpose, perhaps they will remain in that manifested form until the end of their days. But their etheric body, reborn from the divine core in their own heart, will no longer bear the imprint of that experience, of that unresolved tension. They will follow free the path of the stars. They will be the pentagram of fire, the fivefold robe of the new spirit soul, which will carry within itself the transmuted quintessence of all its treasure of experience, that treasure which, through the ups and downs of human existence, the countless incarnations and the turns of the wheel of life and death, brought them at last to the portals of eternal life. This is the promise that awaits each one of those who truly yearn for it, and who, in self-surrender, walk the path. To reach it, each soul needs to discover and unravel its rota, its individual destiny, in full freedom and autonomy.